গুরুন বৈষ্ণবাংশ তিরুপং সাগ্রজাতং সহগণ রঘুনাথান্বিতং তং সজীব সদ্বৈতং সাবধূতং পরিজন সহিতং কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য দেবং শ্রীরাধা কৃষ্ণ পাদান সহগণ ললিতা শ্রী বিশাখান্বিতং জ্ঞানাঞ্জন শলাকায় চক্ষুর্মীলিত যেন তস্মৈ শ্রী গুরুবে নম বাঞ্ছা কল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপা সিন্ধুরেব চ পতিতানাং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। সো মহারাজ, অ্যাবাউট শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম, উই ফাউন্ড ওয়ান লেকচার, I mean, in the sermons of Sermon 4, Guardian of Devotion, Sermon 4, there Guru Maharaj saying about the four sittings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm giving my dandavat to you first, and here, and all the devotees, and praying their mercy. So, today I'm first about this Bhagavatam class. So please tell me if anything is there. So, how the Bhagavatam appeared to us, some devotee asking question. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, events are described of Śrīla Gosvāmī speaking at Naimisharanya, and this is after Vyāsadeva had spoken Bhagavatam to Śukadeva. So how is it that Vyāsadeva was aware of the events at Naimisharanya? Then Guru Maharaj answering, Sridhar Maharaj saying, so many sittings of Bhagavatam took place. First Narada came and gave instructions by way of 10 shloka outline. He told Vyasadeva, meditate on it and give it out to the public. Elucidate these principles. Elucidate, otherwise what you have given so far will be all fruitless. So Vyas took only those 10 shlokas, those 10 verses. He meditated and wrote the principle of Bhagavatam in a short way. He gave, that is revered Brahma, the highest quarter, the Krishna consciousness Godhead, and that lila is very sweet. There is nothing of this side in Maya, but that plane is full of transcendental sweet pastime. Vyasadeva managed to call his son Shukdev, and in Badrikasana he taught him, although my inclination was towards this non-differentiated Brahma conception, my father managed to teach me this Leela of Bhagavatam, Leela of Bhagavan Krishna. Today I shall talk about that to you in this great assembly. So Sukhdev received Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. Previously Narada gave it to Vyasadeva, and Vyas composed it in elaboration and taught it to Sukhdev. This was the second recitation. The third was when Sukhdev delivered lectures with his remarks to the great assembly of scholars in Sukartal. When Sukhdev gave lecture, there was one Śrūta Gosvāmī who was a very sharp hearing man, Śrutidhar. Śrutidhar is one who, having only once heard something, keeps it in his memory. And Śrūta, having those qualities, was present in that meeting. The fourth sitting was in Naimisharanya, where the rishis, apprehending the black march of Kali-yuga, commenced and engaged themselves in a 1,000-year campaign, Jagga. Finding Śrūta Gosvāmī, they told, we have got much leisure in the evening to hear about the absolute and really hard, you, Śrūta, were present in that mysterious and famous assembly where Shiva gave his lecture about Bhagavatam, and you memorized it. We request that you deliver by way of lecture to us that Bhagavatam. Sudha Goswami accepted their proposal, and that was the last sitting in the front of regular evening lectures. 60,000 or so rishis, the scholars and performers of sacrifices, assembled to hear from him. It was after the sitting that Vyasadeva took the whole thing and compiled it in book form and let it loose on the public. Question now. What is that Sukartal that you mentioned just now, Srila Sridhar Maharaj? Sukartal is a small district of Uttar Pradesh, just opposite Bibhukuti, a little far off from the Ganges, where there was the place of Maharaj Parikshit. When Parikshit was sure to die, he came to live in that place near Ganges. And there the third assembly took place. Perhaps it was from Sukha that the name Sukartal has now come. And by that name, this place is known to the public. Question. Was Vyasadeva present at Naimisharan when Sutta spoke? Srila Sridhar Maharaj, no. He was not present in the meeting, but he got information. He was a yogi. Vyasadeva was such a yogi that he could understand and feel whatever is happening anywhere. In this way, the whole battle story in the Mahabharata has been described by him. How is it possible? Not only that, but he was a yogi of such higher class that he could transfer his yoga shakti to Sanjay, who, inspired by that potency, could also feel that battle. He could observe so many things simultaneously, what one is saying to another, what weapon one is throwing to another. All these things Sanjay could see simultaneously, and he is relating the whole thing to Dhritarashtra by the grace of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is able to see many things simultaneously in the yoga-developed consciousness. Once a gentleman told me that Einstein in his last days was asked by his wife, "What invention are you searching now?" He replied, "If I am successful in this campaign of my research, then you will be able to see me wherever I am. Wherever I shall be, you shall be able to see and feel me. That plane I am going to try to invent." That was Einstein's last tendency, according to one gentleman, though I don't know how far it is true. Many devotees are also said to realize such a position that from a separate place they can detect when a dog is entering within a particular temple in Vrindavan. He is feeling, "Oh, a dog is entering there." When our plane of consciousness, our consciousness seat is not disturbed by any self-produced thought, when it is clear, then when any wave carrying any news strikes it, it can feel that this is happening somewhere else and the wave has come to touch the aerial of my consciousness. When our consciousness seat is very clear, any wave that arises to touch it, any fact that arises in our plane of thinking, that cannot but be an actual fact. But when self-produced prejudices have covered the conscious seat, then we can't detect such things. The plane of our consciousness cannot be read. But when that is cleared, any incident happening anywhere sends some wave to every receiver, and each can understand, "Oh, such thing is happening." Useless thoughts, false thoughts do not arise in his mind. Whatever is happening is sending some wave. His mind is so clear that he detects that event. He reads his mind. He will it, and he says, "Oh, this is happening here, and that is happening there. It may be considered something like that." Okay, Maharaj, hearing? Everyone hearing?
Yes, Maharaj, I'm hearing. Is everyone hearing?
Hare Krishna.
Can everyone hear? Yes, I think everyone is hearing. Okay, it's, if you make the volume a little louder, it will be nice.
Okay, Maharaj. Okay. So, Guru Maharaj is saying, but this is a kind of Siddhi, mystic power. A true Vaishnava avoids all these things, but automatically it may come to someone, and sometimes they may disclose this fact, otherwise they avoid all these things. They do not want miracles. They are eager to find out the miracle of the center, the central miracle. They are busy to search for the miracle of miracles. And so this side issues, the neglect. They are all attentive to find out the main problem. Their sense person energy is engaged for that, concentrated without caring for these things. Question. So Sridhar Maharaj, when Sukadeva was asked to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he was in the presence of his guru, Vyasadeva, and Param Guru, Narada. So how is it that he took the exalted seat of the Vyasasan in the presence of his guru and Param Guru? Srila Maharaj replying, Sukadeva was not asked to speak Bhagavatam, only Parashri Maharaj prayed, what should be the duty of a man who is surely going to die very soon? How should I utilize my energy that it may help me after death? Certain death is approaching towards me, and so how I can utilize my time best? So many rishis, authorities of different departments, were recommending to him differently. And he was perplexed. He told, you give some unanimous verdict to me. I have no time, so please you give some unanimous instruction. At that time, by chance, Sukadeva arrived there at the meeting. Sukadeva was a man of trouble. Many had heard about him, about this peculiar realized soul. He is a boy of 16, but he has got no feeling about this world, which is so charming to all of us. We are trying our hardest, our best to get out of the entanglement of this charming world, but we find that we fail at every step. However, that boy, Sukadeva, has crossed the line of Maya and always is in continuous conception of the conscious world. He is quite ignoring these material things, and he does not even find necessity of cloth around his waist. Even he has got no distinction in his mental eye as to whether one is a woman or a man. He is so highly and firmly established in pure spiritual conception that even the beautiful girls do not feel any necessity to cover the parts they are of the body. So now Guru was saying, he was like a pebble to the gathered sages. So when Sukadeva appeared there, all rose in honor of him. Sukadeva is not caring for anything there, and when he entered, all the rishis told Parikshit Maharaj, Maharaj, you are very fortunate. This Mahatma, who we all seek to have darshan of, has come. You please ask your question to him. And we are all eager to hear something from his lips. So they all animously put Sukadeva in the presidential chair. They all took their seats, and Parikshit asked him, I'm just approaching a certain death. So what is my duty? How should my duty be cast in order that I can have my highest benefit in the least span of time? Sukhdev began to answer, and everyone there in a pin drop silence began to listen to his words. His words were coming unquestionably as the absolute truth and were unanimously accepted by all present in that assembly, where all the big scholars who had come to give some consolation to Parikshit Maharaj. You are such a good Maharaj with good administration. You are unparalleled as well as lover, respecter and protector of the Brahminical yoga, faith, etc. Despite all these qualifications, you have been thrown a curse from that same side of the Brahma section, and that is a very lamentable thing. In this way, almost all the leaders of all different schools of philosophy came to give consolation to Maharaj Parikshit. It was in that well-represented assembly that Sukhdev was to speak. Narada and Vyasadev knew well that what we are trying to inaugurate, which seemed to be a very narrow and bio-gotic thing, when Sukhdev will speak the Bhagavatam, he will give it in a very extensive way and with the widest color. Narada expressed, I gave 10 poems as 10 outline to Vyasadev, and he elaborately taught that to Sukhdev. Sukhdev has got some extensive credit and honor amongst all the types of scholars. Coming in the broad view and percolated by his Brahma conception, we are eager to see how this elaborated Srimad Bhagavatam shall be delivered to this world, retaining its transcendence. In order to do away with my mundane misconception, it must pass through Sukhdev, otherwise people may think this to be mundane. He has got the broadest conception of view, and his qualification is admitted from all sides. Narada and Vyasadeva are present and eagerly waiting. Happily, they tested how through Brahma Dhyan, so the widest touch, this Krishna Lila, which seems to be very limited and narrow things, passes to be widely accepted. All these gentlemen for 7 days attended this meeting, and they all listened with such eagerness. Sukhdev told, from my father, from my dear affectionate father, I have learned these things. And giving warning to the audience, he told, you all know that I have no bigoted conception about religion. The broadest conception of religion I possess, and I am famous for that. I have got contact with Brahma. Brahma means the biggest, the greatest plane, the higher, widest plane. I am already settled in that consciousness. So what I say, don't take it as a mundane happenings of this limited world, but it is coming from the other side, that is beyond Brahma Lok, and has attracted me. I have got no charm for anything of this mundane world. I am well established in the transcendental world. I shall give delivery to you all of what attracted me and why I have noted and studied, and that is fully transcendental. With morning, I gave delivery of all these things of Krishna Leela. You should take it that Krishna's pastimes are broader, wider, higher, and deeper things in the transcendental world. You must take it like that. Now and again, giving this warning, Sukhdev is delivering the whole thing, and Narada and Vyasadeva are reflecting, yes, we are successful. In his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva has written there originally this Srimad Bhagavatam is a very good thing, but still its beauty is enhanced by the commentary that has come from the mouth of Shukdev. The Bhagavat knowledge modified and ornamented by the knowledge of Shukdev has got a wider view, and the universal truth will be easy for all sections of the religious school to accept. So knowingly, it was that the Guru and Param Guru of Shukdev were present there. They knew the future and could understand that this recitation would occur, and also out of sympathy for Maharaj Parikshit, they came. They did not come by chance. So this Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivedanta Siddhartha Goswami Maharaj, he spoke very nicely about Bhagavatam. Also, I can remember one shloka, you know, about Bhagavatam. When Guru Maharaj supposed to compose Bhagavatam like Bhagavat Arka Marishimala by 300 shloks. So he started, but we are unfortunate, we not got, but we got only few shloka. So one of the shloka, introductory shloka of Bhagavatam, I can remember, and I can tell, every time when we read Bhagavatam, we remembering, now we heard that Bhagavatam coming so many sittings, and first Vyasdev given to Narad, then Narad, so Narad gave to Vyasdev, sorry, and then Vyasdev given to Shukdev, and Shukdev given to Parikshit Maharaj and others, and where Sutamuni also present, and then Sutamuni given to 60,000 Saunakadi rishis. And gradually we got that Bhagavatam. And also we should be happy to know that Mahaprabhu himself listening Bhagavatam when he was in Jagannath Puri. And Guru Maharaj, by seeing in his divine eye, he composed on a shloka, I can recite, Nilam hi tate sada shavirahakshi pahanitang bandhavam bhagavati katha madiraya sanjivayana bhatita Srimad Bhagavatam sadasvanayana supayanai pujayan Goswami prabara gadadhara viburuhayat madikagati. Giving his obeisances to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, because he is reciting Bhagavatam to, and Mahaprabhu listening. So he, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Govinda Maharaj translates something about this slok. If a friend feels so much separation from his God,
Maharaj, Deva Mahindri wants to join. Can you add Devi Dutta?
Who?
Devi Dutta, I have added to the Sangha.
I don't see her name.
Devi Dutta in the group, Maharaj.
I don't see her in the group. Add it again. Let Maharaj continue. You try to add.
Yes. So this shloka is so nice, saying that Nilam Uditati, in the bank of blue ocean, and one is fully in the mood of separation, and Sarasha Virai Bandhavam, and he's getting strength, energy, by hearing, by listening Bhagavatam. And it is just like wine. Guru Maharaj saying, just like Madiraya, Bhagavat Katha Madiraya, the words of Bhagavatam, just like wine, giving him some energy. And you know, Bhagavatam, and who is reading Bhagavatam, and tears coming from his eye, and he's just like worshipping Bhagavatam. And Srila Gaurinath is giving a translation I'm reading. If a friend feels so much separation from his girlfriend or boyfriend, he or she cannot understand what to do and may even act like a madman. At that time, a friend may try to make him peaceful by giving a little wine or something similar. The ecstatic recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam by Sri Gadadhar Pandit are likened to this nourishment which he gave to Srimad Mahaprabhu in his extreme mood of separation from Sri Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna himself, and it is ecstasy in the form of sound vibration. Srimad Mahaprabhu would sit opposite Gadadhar Pandit and he would receive nourishment from Sri Gadadhar Pandit's reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Guru Maharaj composed about how Mahaprabhu listening and how Gadadhar Pandit describing and reading. We heard that Gadadhar Pandit reciting and tears wash the pages. And Guru was saying it is just like a flower. His tears comparing like a fire, a flower, and like coming as an offering to Bhagavatam. And he reading Bhagavatam and tears as a flower coming from his eye and worshipping Bhagavatam. And after that, Srinivas Acharya came in Jagannathi to Gadadhar Pandit to hear Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit saying to Srinivas Acharya, oh, you must bring on Bhagavatam because my Bhagavatam already, the letter was missed because my tears took out. So this has happened in Chota Gopinath, where Gadadhar Pandit used to stay and Mahaprabhu every day coming and to Gadadhar Pandit and listening in Bhagavatam. And we found in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavanas Thakur saying, Mahaprabhu used to hear Prahlad Charitra and Dhruva Charitra 100 times because to teach us that we must learn how Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj shown that dedication and devotion. So Mahaprabhu used to listen 100 times, Shatabdhi, 100 times he is listening about Dhruva Charitra, character of Dhruva and Prahlad Maharaj. Okay, so now we continue what and now we can. So Maharaj, we can read what you are reading. Say, Bhagavatam, first canto, 5th chapter.
26 verse.
Yes, Maharaj, we can continue. Just we read something from Guru Maharaj about, and so nice.
Yes, thank you very much. This is beautiful.
So, we are hearing what you are reading, Maharaj, that is about Narad Muni saying, yes, Narad Muni describing how he, his past previous life. I can read from, we are reading 26, so in 23rd, we are reading 23rd, where he is saying, Narada Muni saying, Ahum puratito bhavya bhavamune dasascha kaschachan vedavarinam nirupito balak eva yoginam susasane pabrishi nirvivikshatam. We are reading 23, where Narada Muni is saying, O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmans. were following the principles of Vedanta when they were living together during the 4 months of rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. The purport. Yeah, okay. So here Narayani is saying, and okay, now I come to 26. He continue, Narayani continue. Tatra nahaṁ Krishna kataha ragayata manugrahena sunabam manohara tasadda mehnupam visannata priyasravashyam mamabhavadrati. Saying, translation 26, O Bhairav, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantis, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, and thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. The purport saying, Lord Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is attractive not only in his personal features, but also in his transcendental activities. It is so because the absolute is absolute by his name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. The Lord descends on this material world out of his causeless mercy and displays his various transcendental pastimes as a human being, so that human beings attracted towards him become able to go back to Godhead. Men are naturally apt to hear histories and narrations of various personalities performing mundane activities without knowing that by such association one simply wastes valuable times and also becomes addicted to the three qualities of mundane nature. Instead of wasting time, one can get spiritual success by turning his attention to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. By hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Lord, one contracts directly the personality of Godhead. And as explained before, by hearing about the personality of Godhead from within, all accumulated sins of the mundane creatures are cleared. Thus, being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. Narad Muni had just explained this by his personal experience. The whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. Narad Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss, and he can travel all over the material and spiritual world without restriction. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right source. As Narad heard them from the pure devotees, Bhaktivedantas, in his previous life. This process of hearing in the association of devotees is especially recommended in the age of quarrel in Kali. So we are coming to the next slok. Tasmin sada labdho ruchir mahamati priyasapasya skolita matir mama jayami tat sadasat shomaya pashimai brahmani kalpitam pari. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching, and as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings for both the Lord and I are transcendental. Purport. Ignorance in material existence is compared to darkness. And in all Vedic literatures, the personality of Godhead is compared to the sun. Wherever light, there cannot be darkness. Hearing the Lord's pastimes is itself transcendental association with the Lord, because there is no difference between the Lord and his transcendental pastimes. To become associated with the supreme light is to dissipate all ignorance. By ignorance only, the conditioned soul wrong thinks that both he and the Lord are products of material nature. But in fact, the personality of Godhead and the living beings are transcendental, and they have nothing to do with the material nature. When ignorance is removed and it is perfectly realized that there is nothing existing without the personality of Godhead, then nescience is removed. Since the gross and subtle bodies are emanations from the personality of Godhead, the knowledge of light permits one to engage both of them in the service of the Lord. The gross body should be engaged in acts of rendering service to the Lord, as bringing water, cleansing the temples, of making offerings, etc. The path of archana, or worshipping the Lord in the temple, involves engaging one's gross body in the service of the Lord. Similarly, the subtle mind should be engaged in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, thinking about them, chanting his name, etc. All such activities are transcendental. None of the gross subtle senses should otherwise be engaged. Such realization of transcendental activities is made possible by many, many years of apprenticeship in the devotional service. But simply attraction of love for the person to Godhead, as it was developed in Narad Muni by hearing, is highly effective.
Maharaj, I want to ask one question.
Yes, yes, as dear to Maharaj.
Yeah. Maharaj, actually, the subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence, and false ego, monobuddhi, ahankar. So, how one can use one's ahankar in service of the Lord?
Your question, ahankar. Ahankar means we are ego. I am the body, I am the enjoyer. And this is the false ego. But if we think I am Krishna Das, that ego is good. I am the servant of Vaishnav. That ego, that Mahaprabhu told, that who we are. So our ego, I am the enjoyer, I am this body, I have enjoy. This is called false ego. And this is the cause. It's called a Hridaya Granthi in Bhagavatam, it is told. Vidyate Hridaya Granthi. It is a knot in our heart. Hridaya Granthi. Vidyate, and one day it will remove. We can remove if we get the mercy of the Lord. We can see him everywhere. Then that ego will go. That is our main enemy, it is told. Ego, ahankar. Ahankar, ego is our main enemy. By this false ego, we are now in the illusory world. We want to enjoy. We want to be a master, right? So, when one day will come, when our Hridaya Granthi not will be broken, I mean, Vidyate Hridaya Granthi, Chinnante Sarva Sanshaya, Khyante Chasya Karmani, Mahidishtya Khilatmane. When I can able to see the Lord everywhere by His mercy, when I see His presence everywhere, then that ego will remove. But we can use the ego, real ego, that I am his servant, Jiveshwarupa Krishna Nitya Das. I am the servant of Krishna. That is the real ego. That ego, when we shall engage ourselves in his service, and the service of his devotees, that way we can engage our ego in properly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. A nice question. So, We are continuing the next looks. Narad Muni continuing saying, Ittam sarat pabrishi kabritu hareri vishannata me anuntavam jasumalam saṅkīrtamānam munibhīr mahātma vri bhakti pabrityātma rajantamapvaha. In this way, Narad Muni is saying, this dance during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear these great souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of the Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the moods of passion and ignorance vanished. Purport. Transcendental loving service for the Supreme Lord is the natural inclination of every living being. The instinct is dormant in everyone, but due to the association of material nature, the modes of a patient and ignorance cover this form from this time immemorial. If by the grace of the Lord and the great soul devotees of the Lord, a living being becomes fortunate enough to associate with the unadulterated devotees of the Lord and gets a chance to hear the unadulterated glories of the Lord, certainly the flow of devotional service takes place like the flow of a river. As the river flows until she reaches the sea, similarly pure devotional service flows by association of pure devotees till it reaches the ultimate goal, namely transcendental love of God. Such a flow of devotional service cannot stop. On the contrary, it increases more and more without limitation. The flow of devotional service is so potent that any onlooker also becomes liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. These two qualities of nature are thus removed, and the living being is liberated, being situated in his original position. So, Narad Muni continuing, he's saying, Tashaivam meonuraktish, Tashaiva, Tashaivam meonuraktishtra prasitashtra hatayinashaha, Sraddhadhanasya valasya, Dantashyanasharashya, Jnanam gujyatamam yattat, Sakshat bhagavududitam, Annapachan gomishyantaha, Kipayadina vatsvalaha. Narad Muni is saying, I was very much attached to these sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. Barbour. These are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of a pure devotee or devotees. One should not be misled by a pishu-shidu devotee. He himself must be plain to gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. A pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul unto the personality of Godhead. He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor and all others as his servitors. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. A nipotite devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, and he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. These are all signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success in the existing duration of life. नेक्स्ट श्लोक सॉरी आई रीड टुगेदर ज्ञानांगुज्यतमं यत्तत् साक्षात् भगवतोदितं अन्नवचन गमिष्यन्त कृपया दिन वत्सलः Nārad Muni is saying, as they were living, those bhakti Vedantas were very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. Purport, a pure Vedantist or a bhakti Vedanta instructs followers exactly according to the instructions of the Lord himself. The personality of Godhead, both in the Bhagavad Gita and in all other scriptures, has definitely instructed men to follow their Lord only. The Lord is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. The whole manifested creation is existing by His will. And by His will, when the whole show is finished, He will remain in His eternal abode with all His paraphernalia. Before the creation, he was there in the eternal abode, and after the annihilation, he will continue to remain. He is not, therefore, one of the created beings. He is transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that long, long before the instruction was imparted to Arjuna, the same was instructed to the Sun God, and in course of time, the same instruction being wrongly handled and being broken, was again instructed to Arjuna because he was his perfect devotee and friend. Therefore, the instruction of the Lord can be understood by the devotees only and no one else. The impersonalist who has no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord cannot understand this most confidential message of the Lord. The expression most confidential is significant here because knowledge of devotional service is far, far above knowledge of impersonal Brahma. Jnanam means ordinary knowledge or by any branch of knowledge. This knowledge develops after the knowledge of impersonal Brahma. Above these, when it is partially mixed with devotion, such knowledge develops to knowledge of Paramatma or the all-pervading Godhead. This is more confidential, but when such knowledge is turned into pure devotional service and the confidential part of transcendental knowledge is attained, it is called the most confidential knowledge. This most confidential knowledge was imparted by the Lord Brahma, Arjuna, Uddhava, etc.
Maharaj, here it is told that, you know, Jnan means ordinary knowledge, and the Jnan and Vijnan and Pragyan, what is the difference between that?
Well, you answered this. Jnan, Vijnan, and Pragyan.
I think it's explained here. The impersonal Brahman is Jnan, is it? Confidential, most confidential. Knowledge. Confidential and most confidential. Always can think of it like that. Three different types of knowledge. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. What do you think?
Yes, Maharaj, you know, I was thinking the and began little different, difficult to, you know, differentiate. What is the in detail?
Well, I heard about Pragyan. Pragyan, the word I heard, because premochita jnan, the knowledge which mixed with love and devotion, that knowledge is called Pragyan. And Pragyan means prakrishta jnan. But I heard maybe Guru Maharaj's explanation somewhere, that Pragyan means premo mishrita jnan, the knowledge mixed with love and devotion. That is Pragyan.
Yes.
That in that Guru Maharaj saying, Jare 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 Gaura Saraswati Bhakati Vinodannaya Karuna Murati Prakashali Gaura Seva Bhuvana Mangal Bhakati Siddhanta Shuddha Prajnana Ujjal. Here the word Prajnana Ujjal. So, Prajnan I heard somewhere, this is called Premo Mishrita, knowledge mixed with love and devotion.
Yes. That's not Jnana Mishra Bhakti.
No, Prajnan is not Jnana Mishra Bhakti. It's Prajnan, Premishita Jnana.
Yes. Knowledge, yeah. Devotion.
Yeah, that is.
Maharaj, then what is Vigyan?
Vigyan actually means realized knowledge, Prabhupada explained. Vigyan means realized knowledge. Gyan means theoretical. Vigyan means realized knowledge. So Gyan can be impersonal, theoretical knowledge. Vigyan is practical, realized knowledge. You can know that a banana is sweet. Someone can tell you a banana has a sweet taste. We can call that Gyan. And that banana is a fruit, it has a nice sweet taste. But Vigyan is when you taste it and you know that this the banana tastes like. Something like that.
That means Maharaj one has experience of that knowledge.
Yes, the practical experience.
Yes.
And then therefore Prabhupada called Vigyan scientific knowledge. Knowledge by experience. You may know about somebody, but you actually may have acquaintance with that person. And to know that they are someone, Prime Minister of India, you may know about that. But to actually come in contact with him and get a relationship is another kind of knowledge. That kind of knowing is different than the theoretical knowing.
Maharaj, in this regard, I can ask what you say that Jnana Shunya Bhakti, because our devotion, Mahaprabhu saying, yes, he starting from Jnana Shunya Bhakti. So how you say something about Jnana Shunya Bhakti in this?
Jnana Shunya Bhakti means, Jnana in that case, yes, means without this impersonal kind of knowing of Krishna, or calculative knowledge without impersonal knowledge. In other words, not just thinking about God. Bhakti that is not based upon some theoretical knowledge, but bhakti that is actual engagement in the service of Krishna. Using the senses in the service of Krishna. That is actual bhakti. Jnana Shunya Bhakti. Without thinking, one is engaged in service out of attachment, out of devotion, of affection. Simply engaging like that. Not because he knows that this is God and I must serve him. But out of affection, attachment for the devotees and Krishna, he is serving without any consideration of anything. Only that I have love. I love to do this type of service. This is my heart. My life is fulfilled by doing this type of thing. And then Jnana Shunya Bhakti, without any consideration of any extra, anything extra.
Yes.
What I just out of spontaneous affection, spontaneous love. Just like I think Kurmaj gave an example once that he said the mother gives the child a sweetmeat and the child is asking, what did you make this with? How did you make this? And mother is a little unhappy. Because child wants to know something about this. She doesn't trust that he, she has made it with good things. Why is he asking like that? But if the child takes the sweetmeat and just eats and relishes, oh, this is so good. He doesn't care what it was made, how it made. Just tasting it is very sweet, very nice, Mother. Oh, I appreciate it so much. You have made this wonderful sweet bowl. That. Spontaneous. No questions asked.
So now it's...
So I think... Yes. Are you on to stop or you would like to go on?
Maharaj asking whether time is over or not, he's asking.
Well, for you, for him, is eternal time. We can go on all night, all eternally. What does he want to do? He wants to stop or go on. Now it is early there for you.
Maharaj is telling whatever you want.
Okay. Then I think we can stop. We usually go for 1 hour. And you can come again on Thursday or Friday. Yes. And kindly give us your blessings and your mercy. We'd love to hear from you.
No, I am here to hear you and advice.
I'm talking all the time. But it's nice to have you, Maharaj. I really appreciate your sangha.
Everyone
can say Hare Krishna, Dhanwad to Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Jai, Jai.
धन्यवाद
मोहित जी आप
Indian time is Friday. American time, Thursday. Where are they calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Oh, then Thursday, same time, on Thursday night. 9 o'clock Thursday night.
It will be 7 o'clock here.
Oh, 6 o'clock, yes. 6 o'clock there. All right.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right. Same. Arrivo.
আপনি এখনো করতে 10 মিনিট পরে করতে পারেন,
ঠিক আছে, তাই করবো। আচ্ছা, ধন্যবাদ।